Thank you, Stefan, for the invitation to come here and to see all of you and to be with you this second of Advent. It's true, we have had known each other for a long time, and I'm old already. And when Stefan says that, would you mind coming? And I say yes, sir. If I just have room in my calendar, I want to help and support my friends and colleagues and brothers. I have to look at you a little bit first here. This will be good. Today I'm going to speak out of Hebrews 6:19. Let's see if we can get it up on the screen here. Yes, I got a little bit more than I asked for even. But that's how it is when you pray sometimes. It's verse 19 that I want to encourage you in here. That we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. And I'm going to talk about hope as an anchor for our souls. A simple thought, it's not complicated. But we will stick to this, because this is a very important topic, a very important thing in a time like ours. Right. Our soul, our innermost life, our heart has to be anchored, because we're living in a stormy time, difficult times. The time of Advent is also a time when you can take up this question of the hope of the world. Somebody coming, Jesus coming. He came with hope and light and life. And we have lots of different symbols that we use around the time of Advent, that everybody in some way or another should communicate hope to us. It gets better when Jesus comes. He comes into the darkness. He comes into brokenness. He comes into what's lacking. And he opens something that is hard to describe, really. But it's something that starts to be alive, something that creates hope, and something that can grow and that can bear fruit in our lives when he comes into our lives. But this Sunday, in the church year, you lift up Jesus' second coming. Last Sunday was about his coming into Israel, into the world, to Bethlehem, and to us. Then this, the second Sunday of Advent, is a lot about the Bible teaches and the churches teaches that he didn't just come once, but he will come again. And that we live in a time of hope. And when we almost feel like we're breaking from everything that is so unjust and terrible in the world. We just prayed for Ukraine. And I think we all feel this powerlessness, this helplessness, that is there anything that could end this? Then the Christian faith still has a hope that there will be a time and there will be a day when God will say enough is enough, if he speaks English, that is. Or this is enough, if he speaks Swedish. Or this is it. There is a hope, and for me there is something in this darkest tunnel that we're living in, that there still shines at the end of the tunnel a light, that Jesus will be coming back. I want to live in that hope. How this happens, or how everything will be arranged, or how it will turn out, don't ask me. Those are very difficult questions. But the fact that it's coming at the end of the ages, he will come back. That is a very important part of the Christian worldview. And I think it could help us to not fall into hopelessness, because what is our times? A big and serious epidemic. It could so easily become hopeless, and hopelessness creates apathy and this kind of passivity that allows everything to just happen. That the Christian church should get energy and strength in the hope that this is not the ending. This is not the last chapter. There will be another one. I think Advent should remind us of this also. So this was the beginning. Let's go to the text and go onto the personal plane, the hope, the anchor of our soul. This hope is safe and secure. Safe and secure that reaches inside the holy, behind the curtain. It's not enough to just have an anchor that just lays on the beach. But we're talking about an anchor that is safe and secure, and that holds, that is safe, that is secure. It's not just a symbol, you know, faith, hope, and love. Faith is the cross, and then hope is the anchor, and love, the heart. And that's a very nice conclusion of like what the Christianity is about, these big truths in Christianity, faith, hope, and love. And the anchor, being hope, probably comes from this this verse in the Bible, because Hebrews, the author, uses this metaphor that hope is an anchor when he wants to talk about the anchor of the soul. Often you say that the only thing that is constant is change. The only thing that is always true is that things will change. And this this has to do with everything in the world, and for most of us, during some periods of time, maybe more intensely than other times, change. And everything changes, and we change. And the more we live in this, and the more we experience this, the more we start longing for something that is safe and unchanging. The anchor of the soul. The soul in the Bible is our intellect, our thoughts, our feelings, our willingness. That's how you maybe mention, like, talk about these things that that are very easily like manipulated by the outside, or by impressions from the outside, could make our soul sometimes being in a constant state of feeling unsafe or movement. But here Hebrews talks about that the soul can be anchored in something. Circumstances do affect us. But we are still safe and secure in him. Our soul's anchor. Every ship needs to have an anchor when it should park somewhere. The water is always moving. The winds are blowing. The outer circumstances are always affecting the ship. And every ship owner and captain of the ship needs to recognize this and know about this, that he is not the only actor. And this is important for us normal people to know too, that we're not alone in our lives. We're not the only ones affecting it. Like, everything around us affects us. Things we wouldn't want to affect us, and maybe things we want to affect us. But there are many things that are affecting us. That's why there needs to be an anchor that can hold the ship in the right position so it doesn't start drifting away. And I think that our hearts are longing to be anchored to something that doesn't go adrift, that doesn't move. And I think that's why we're here today, most of us. We think and we know that our heart wants to stay to something that is safe and secure. Boats and being out on the sea are important things to me personally. And Miriam and Stefan and me, we are neighbors during the summer. We have summer cottages close to each other. So Stefan knows I love my boat. And other things as well, of course. But many years ago, we had a bigger boat where we could also sleep. And I remember one evening, a nice warm summer evening, we were anchored just north of the Torveda stones in the Cebu archipelago. And we had been enjoying this nice summer evening so much. It's nice to think about the summer evenings today in December. So summer will come again, right? We, as Finns, live in that hope that November and December will soon be over and the light will come back. We were enjoying the sunset. And then we go to bed. And it felt so nice. But I woke up during the early morning because the wind was blowing so much around me there in the boat. And I thought, oh dear, the wind is blowing so much. And I come out from my room there from the cabin, and there's a southeast big wind that is pushing against our boat, against the longer side of the boat. So the wind was affecting our boat a lot. And I felt the anchor rope first, that am I still attached? And it was very tight. It was not a good feeling to think that now there's a lot of force pulling on this anchor. And the first thought was, did I make sure that the anchor was really good, that it was really holding on? Because it shouldn't just be at the bottom of the sea. It should find something to hold on to, something that it can grab a hold of, a stone or a cliff or something on the bottom of the sea that can handle this weight. And for a few minutes I was quite worried because I had no alternatives in that moment to take up the anchor and try to put it in again, because during these minutes we would already have been drifting and up onto the rocks that were close by with all the problems that follow from that. And I just had to believe and hope that the anchor would be firm and would hold during this night, despite the winds being so hard. To make this story shorter, later in the morning the winds died down and we came, luckily we could move on. But it was an important reminder that the weather changes. The weather changes in our lives also. What could feel good today might tomorrow have quite a few storms and difficulties hitting it. And it's during these days and during these times that it's so important that our soul has found an anchor outside of ourselves. This anchor of the soul that enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. The author is trying to say that this anchor is connected to heaven. And an anchor that is inside the boat doesn't work at all. But the anchor needs to be attached to what's outside of us. That's the secure point. And I think this, he wants to remind us here that inside of this curtain, in heaven, it's in this completed work of Jesus Christ on the cross. It's in him, and it's in the promises that God has given to us. When we are anchored in those, then our soul can have peace in the middle of the storm or the difficult times in our lives. The hope is the anchor in stormy times and in bad weather. And it holds us secure. And in Psalm 33:11, it says, "But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations." And in Psalms, there's so many different places where he talks about God's faithfulness. Faithfulness is almost an old-fashioned word, isn't it? But this faithfulness means that something is secure, something is safe, something doesn't change. And King David, writing his Psalms, he has a very strong need to often remind himself of this, that God is faithful. And his plans, his word, what he has said, it stays from age to age. And I think what we need as God's children in a time as ours is to be well anchored. The anchor of hope that holds us, that helps us not to blow away, blow onto the rocks, or get hurt, or go into the wrong direction during stormy days. What God is, and what he has done, is constant. He never changes. When our lives change, then it can be especially important for me and for you to know I am surrounded in something, in someone who doesn't change. When we feel worry and unsafety of everything that is shaking us up and everything that is changing in a chaotic and absurd world, it's good to find peace in a God who doesn't change, and his presence that doesn't change. How our faith and hope connected to each other. Let's read from Hebrews 10:19. There we have a text that somehow uses a little bit of the same metaphors and thoughts. "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way open for us through the curtain, that is his body. And here you also have a description of what this curtain means through Jesus' death and resurrection. We have a connection here to heaven. But that's another sermon. But it's a great and important understanding of how important the body is also in the Christian faith. We're not just dealing with spiritual things, but Christ came in the flesh and he died and his body was given for us. How we say in communion is something that has to do with us as people, not just our spirit, but also spirit, soul, and body. Since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. Can you go back a little bit to the previous verses and I will say it again. When you read sometimes in the Bible quickly, you miss some good points, so you have to take it one more time. So it says, let us therefore let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. We can come close to God in assurance that God can hear and knows, and he wants to hear what we have to say. In the full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us, and holding on to this hope, holding on to the confession of faith, that he who has given us these promises, he is faithful. And now you can go to the next slide. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Sometimes it's interesting to see that this is a word that we quote, at least me as a pastor, sometimes when there were less people during the meetings and I had to get people to come to church, I would say that come to the meetings. It says, let us not give up meeting together. But can you see that these encouragements here, it's connected to what's before, the assurance of faith that I am secure. I'm attached to him who came in the body and the flesh and who died for me, and who suffered for me, and who gave his life for me, who died for me, and who was resurrected, and who went up to heaven. And my anchor is connected to him. And there I have a safe and secure anchor. What do you say about this? Amen. Yes, there's one amen. At least me, I rejoice in this. It makes me happy. Because we need this. Because the time is evil. Right? These times are difficult. We are being shaken very easily from our positions. And when we are being shaken from our positions, then we can hit the rocks. Then we can get hurt. Then we go wrong. And that's why we need to have this safe anchor of the soul. In him, behind the curtain, his body, him who went ahead of us to heaven, who will be coming back down from heaven one day, take us home to him. God is faithful. I was looking in a dictionary the other day, and these words are being being repeated at least 100 times in the Psalms, different synonyms to being faithful. And older words are loyal, affectionate, dedicated, trustworthy, secure, and patient. All these are words that have to do in some way with being faithful. And I think it's important for us to in some way confess ourselves to a God who is faithful. In Psalm 119 and 90, it says, from age to age, your faithfulness remains. You have founded the earth and it will remain. What God has said in His Word, He has said. And I think it's an important confession to us who believe in the Bible. It's very easy that we just put ourselves above God's Word and say that, could God really have said this? He has said what He has said. That we might not always maybe get all the details from everything or understand all the dimensions in God's Word. That's maybe something we need to work with. And that's why we gather in the worship service and we read the Bible together and we pray for God's leading together and we try to understand what His Word means for me and for us today. But what He has said, He has said. It's that the basis is that we believe in His Word. And God's love and grace are also unchanging. And we should be anchored in something. Something that doesn't move. Something that is secure. To be anchored in Christ. Anchored in the Word. In what He has said. But also anchored in His love and grace. He loved us long before we were created. And He has not changed His opinion about you. And that is so great. Because sometimes it feels like, God, where are you now? I don't understand. Why did this happen to me? I have asked God that many times. Also now. And since all these changes happen around me in my life, where am I? Who am I now? When it's so much around me that is changing. And then I think that I can hear a quiet voice in my heart that says, Kenneth, what I have said about you is still true. You don't understand everything. You don't understand this. But you need to understand that I am unchangeable. You are anchored. And you are safe in me. And whether it's windy around you, or if the weather changes, or if the wind is blowing, I will still hold you safe and secure in my hand. I need that. I need to know that, and you need to know that. Especially if things are hard. Everything we have learned about God in the Bible, it's true today. God is the same. There are no new updates on Him. Nice for me. I'm bad at updating things. My computer stopped working a few months ago. And I went to the tech support at my work. And he said something about the software and so on. And he asked me, have you updated? And I asked, what does that mean? Haven't you seen a box where it says that you should update your software? I said, yes, it pops up all the time. It's really annoying. I just keep clicking it away every time so that I can keep working. Because I think this program works wonderfully. I don't have the time. I don't have the energy to update right now. If I have people who have, I don't know if there are any other people here with these problems, but he said that these signs, you have to take them seriously because the programs need to be updated regularly. Otherwise, they will stop working. And that happened to me. And then it took half an hour and then everything worked again. And I learned a very important lesson when it comes to technology, that you have to read the little boxes that pop up on your screen. So you could remember that too today. But now we're talking about God, and I think that He is who He is. That's His name, I am who I am, Yahweh. And who He was for Moses, He was for Abraham, and He was to the disciples and to our fathers, and He is the same for us today. And that's so wonderful to us that we can be anchored, not in somebody who needs to be updated all the time and changes his software and we get lost and everything stops working. But God is the same. That's a great, great thing that we can thank God for. Thank you, God, that you are who you are. You are who you have said that you are. You are the person I got to know when I have read this book. He's the same. He's the same. To quote another word from Hebrews, Jesus Christ is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. He does not need any updating. He is who He is, and He is enough. He is enough for us. And let us in this dark time of the year, this dark time in our history with wars and insecurity and unsafety, when we also have a spiritual confusion and chaotic thoughts, when there's so much that are just pulling on us, even us as Jesus' church, it pulls us in so many directions. Let us, all of us, have this hope that we are anchored in Him who has given His life for us, in His Word, in His grace, and in His love, and in what is unchanging in God. It is a great place to have your anchor, to hold that anchor holds on to that rock, and we can stand safe even when it's stormy around us, around our ship, and around our lives, when we are dealing with different kinds of challenges. In Romans 5:5, it says that hope does not disappoint us. And hope does not disappoint us or put us to shame in some translations, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. It's a little bit difficult of a sentence, this. I don't know how He connects us. That hope doesn't disappoint. It says different translations and different things, but God has poured out His love into our hearts. So somehow God's love in our hearts and the hope, it's somehow connected to each other. And I have this simple thought and message today to you. For us who are here, we put our hope to God, a God who is close, who is safe, who is secure. We are like ships on an open sea. We're being thrown here and there by the waves and the wind. But just like the boat needs an anchor to not drift or get lost at sea or be hurt at sea, your soul needs an anchor. And this anchor is Christ, that we can connect ourselves together with and be safe when the sea is stormy. Jesus is this faith. He is the hope. And he is the love. In Psalm 42, is that, why are you so cast down, O my soul? Put your hope in God. The psalmist says, David, his soul is not doing well. His soul is heavy with grief, and he tells himself, medicine is being connected, anchored to God. This was my message to you today. And let's stand up and pray together.